Mitzvah Kuf Pei Tes 189, Shelo Legalos Ervas Av, not to have relations with one's father. Shelo Yigal Adam Ervas Aviv, one should not have relations with one's father. Kelomar Shel Yishkav Oso Mishkav Isha, one should not lie with him as one lies with a woman, which is the formulation that the Torah, of course, uses by men in general. Shenemar ervas avicha lo segale. The nakedness of your father you shall not uncover. Vizoso azhara no sefes b'shocheva es aviv. Obviously, this is an additional prohibition regarding your father. Al azhara kolelas b'shkav zachar b'chol adam. Because we know that in Torah law that male homosexual behavior is explicitly prescribed. So therefore, why does the Torah need to tell you not to have relations with your father? He's also a male. You're not allowed to have relations with him at all. So this is an additional thing. So it says in another place, of course, that we'll get to it a few mitzvahs from now. You shall not lie with a man in the manner that one lies with a woman. And we'll explain exactly what that means, of course, when we get to that particular mitzvah. The sages tell us in Masechah Sanhedrin, there's a discussion over there exactly what the nakedness of your father, what that means. So there are interpretations that it refers to one's father's wife, which of course is also mentioned explicitly later, but that one should not have, that it means the nakedness of your father, means by extension that his wife is the nakedness of your father. But the conclusion of the Gemara is that no, it means it's talking specifically about your father. So it says, why does it need to tell you over here again? Not allowed to have relations with a male at all. So what is your father adding to this? We have many times in the Torah where if it says something twice, or you could violate two prohibitions at once, you have to bring you get two penalties.
The penalty for this is
stealing. We're talking, of course, right. The penalty for...
You can only get stoned once.
Right, you can only get stoned once. But it's talking about if you do it accidentally, b'shogeg, then you would have to bring two chatos.
Also, wait.
You have to bring two sin offerings. It applies
to women. A woman cannot go and have
relations. Well, no, but that's from a different one. That's from because it says you're not allowed to have relations with your daughter. So that the girl and her father is from a different love. This is addressing a male and talking about the father.
Why is it specifically a male though? I'm sorry.
Because the female is a different one. That's not to have relations between a father and a daughter.
This is specifically then only a man.
Only a father and
a
son.
Father,
yeah. Right.
Woman.
Right. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Veheishiv v'chud Reb Yehuda the Amar Goy habal aviv chayav shtayim. So it says also that, of course, where these rules are relevant to non-Jews as well. It's one of the Sheva Mitzvos B'nei Noach. We have a list of course, seven mitzvos that non-Jews are required to observe as well from the Torah, as opposed to 613 for Jews. And one of them is, first of all, not to have homosexual relations. And one of them is, I mean, not one of the seven. One of the seven is that we run out of numbers pretty quickly. But this one of the seven is not to engage in these improper sexual relationships. And one of them, it says, one of them is that the non-Jews are not allowed to have homosexual relations either. But then they're not allowed to have relations with their father. So the Goy has Chayav twice. And then exactly what that means is a little odd because the penalty for a non-Jew, a non-Jew violating any of the Sheva mitzvahs, the penalty is death. Any of them at all. So the question is, how could there be Chayiv Shtayim over here, like there is for Jews? That a Jew could be Chayiv Shtayim, could be Chayiv twice, because he could bring two sin offerings. But for when he does it accidentally, but for a non-Jew, then you have a problem. I think the way we paskin is, the way it's discussed in the Minchas Chinuch over here, is that there's no additional prohibition for a non-Jew regarding the father, as there is for a, as there is in terms of general homosexual relations. So it says, V'sham be'eru ve'amru, mistara milsa de Rabbi Yehuda b'Yisrael v'shogeg uva. The idea that you be liable twice for one act of prohibited relations is relevant for a Jew and for the sin offering, the chatos, because if you had relations with your father by accident, then you would have to bring two sin offerings. One for the zachar, one for mishkav zachar in general, and one for the specific prohibition of one's father. So it says, so Rabbi Yehuda over here says, when it says that a goy is chayav shlamim, again, it doesn't make too much sense. And so how could that be? He must understand it in some different way to even mention it in such a way, but the reason that it picked, why didn't he just say that a Jew is chayav shlamim? So the answer is that he doesn't want to even come out of his mouth the idea that a Jew might do something so disgusting as to have relations with his own father. So therefore, he picked a goy who also happens to be prohibited from engaging in this act as well, but he mentioned the goy because he doesn't even want to mention that a Jew could do such a thing. Like we said, he has to bring two sin offerings should he do this b'shogeg. Inyan has harazon niglu. The idea behind this prohibition is revealed and open to all. Ein laharich b'shorsha ki akira gadol azaroy lachikom the adam v'lano shalav over onish gadol. And it's so disgusting that we should obviously keep people as far away from it as possible, and whoever violates this should have a great penalty associated with it. For this reason, that the person who commits this is punished with stoning. Whereas, again, the penalty for... Right, okay, obviously when you... but that's not just limited to your father per se, that's any male. Medine ha-mitzvah, the lafos of the mitzvah as follows. Again, we'll find out actually more in the next mitzvah, when he talks about not sleeping with one's mother, that he gives more specific reasons. Here he just says it's disgusting, but there are other reasons over there. In other words, that you're supposed to be honoring your father, so this is the opposite of honoring. He says that by the mother, not explicitly by the father over here, that's part of one of the reasons that the Torah asks for these things. Obviously, we're not struggling to find the reason for these mitzvahs as we are for other things that don't seem to make absolutely logical sense, but here I think most people understand intuitively what the problem is over here. Midini ha-mitzvah, ma sha'omer zirchon al-vracha, she'achiyuv hu b'hachnosas ha-Torah miyad, v'lo kodim l'chein. We discussed before that the time where you receive the full penalty for the arayos, again, before you get to this point, you'll be chaya because of the last mitzvah that we were discussing, which is the coming close to uncovering the nakedness as opposed to actually having relations. But the point is that when the corona is inserted into whatever area it is, then you are chayiv immediately for the absolute. That means the entire glands has to be inside. And for a woman, again, for basically, for because it says this is derived from the fact that by general prohibition of homosexual relations, it says mishkeve isha, you shall not lie with a man in the manner that one lies with a woman. Both ways, mishkeve isha uses the plural for the ways that one lies with a woman. And Chazal learned from that. That in halacha there is absolutely no difference between anal and vaginal intercourse; that they absolutely have the same halachic status. So, for example, if one would want to perform kiddushei bia, that we're not really supposed to do this nowadays. But if you again one of the three ways that Jewish people can get married is kesef shtar and bia. Either you give object the husband gives the wife an object of monetary value, or he gives her a document which says you are betrothed unto me, or they have relations and they have again the one act of relations. They're now an arusa, or the what we would colloquially call betrothed, even though they're fully halachically married. They just can't live together yet. So they would have one act of relations, then they wouldn't be able to have relations again until they completed the nisuin, which we discussed a few weeks ago, which is the second stage of marriage. So let's say. Again, you're not supposed to do this, but let's say a man and a woman would go into a room together, and they would have two witnesses standing outside, and the husband says to the wife in front of the two witnesses, "Hared mikudeshes li b'via zo kadas Moshe of Israel, you are sanctified unto me with this act of relations according to the law of Moshe and Yisrael." And of course, the two witnesses, that's what it says in Halacha, two witnesses don't actually need to watch. They could just go into the, once they go into the room together, then the witnesses saw their intention to get married in this manner. The witnesses can now leave, and they are considered to be fully halachically married. So for that, it would not matter whether they had, again, whether they had vaginal or anal intercourse, it would be exactly the same thing. So if you, same thing, so would be same thing over here. If you either types of relations that you have with a with an erva, with any woman, again, if you had anal relations with a married woman, you would be put to death. It's completely considered the same thing in halacha, which is not the case, as opposed to there are other types of sexual conduct that one could have, but none of it would not be subject to the full penalty unless it was one of these two ways, yeah?
So it's to bring this to the modern day, God.
Yeah.
This means that a person who thinks that she's avoiding no longer being a virgin by allowing somebody to have anal intercourse with her,
yeah,
doesn't count. She's not a virgin anymore, technically.
Well, what do you mean? What's an afkamina?
Well, for legal purposes.
Well, she would still, when she, the first time she had vaginal intercourse, she would still need to keep dam besulim, obviously.
That's true.
I mean, but they would be, there was actually a case Rabbi Willig told us about in Shir, that there was a case, that there was a, you know, a boyfriend, a girlfriend, that they, basically they wanted to sleep together, but I guess she was too embarrassed to get birth control pills or anything like that, and she didn't want to get pregnant. So they basically were living together more or less, and they only had anal intercourse. So Rabbi Willig required a get, because they were considered to be married.
Okay.
At least the chashash married, you know. At least there was a concern that they would actually be married.
Logically, there, you know, there's no distinction, but they refer to as, you know, shelo kedarka.
Right, in halacha it's called kedarka, the in the way of the woman, and okay. You're right, it's called in halacha kedarka in her way, and shelo kedarka not in her way.
Okay.
So that's, because it's not considered not the normal way, but it doesn't mean it's not halakhically the significant.
While discussing such, things in detail here, right? Then what happens is that if two men engage in oral relations, is that considered to be,
it's not an iser skila, for sure.
Not an iser skila. Oh, okay, all right.
No, when we talk about homosexual relations in terms of the Torah's prohibition, Mishkav Zachor, we're talking exclusively about anal intercourse. And if you have, again, the question is, other types of sex acts with other men, whether that is an iser, kreva la rayos per se, we were discussing, there are different opinions as to whether the whole institution of kreva la rayos is relevant for Mishkav Zachor or not. So either, it's definitely usser. Exactly.
You don't get shlishi on Shabbos for it.
Right. Definitely. Also, the question is exactly under what parameter is the case, but it's certainly not an iser skila.
I don't mean because there in certain circles there is discussion of for how do we deal with men who have this homosexual men now,
right?
And can you say that they don't have no choice about what they do or something?
Everybody has a choice.
It's okay, fine. All right.
Things are very hard. Things obviously. It makes life very difficult. That's why I said that some poskim, obviously, again, it's not permissible. You're not going to tell someone, yes, go ahead and do it, but, there are different levels, different gradations in Isurim, that if a man comes to you and he says, I just can't control myself, I'm going to do something, please tell me what to do, so obviously you're going to tell him to do these lesser levels than actual having anal intercourse. Absolutely. So in either hole, it's when the glands actually enters that area. You should be aware that Noda Bihuda discusses this, even though it's not actually clear from earlier sources that when you're talking about Bia Kedarka, it's actually when the glands completely enters the vaginal canal per se, and not the labia or any of the exterior type of genitalia. Even though you don't necessarily get that impression from earlier sources per se, the accepted opinion is like the Noda Bihuda, which has relevance, of course, also for the halacha of Dam Besulim that we were discussing before, when it's considered that the husband and wife, the chas and kala, actually had relations or not, and they're considered to be usher because of Dam Besulim, or they are completely mutter still. So there's all of that. This is all part of the equation. In any event, you don't even have to insert the entire member. It would be sufficient just to insert the tip, as we discussed, but not the very tip, but the whole glands that we discussed before. Fine. Chutz min ha'bo'al ha'shifcha she'achiyu ba b'gmar b'yasus. Talking here about the mitzvah of shifcha charufa, which we discussed a little while ago. And that's one of the only cases in the Torah when it's specifically bia kedarka, vaginal intercourse, and it's only when you insert the entire member and ha'ara, just the insertion of the glands, is not sufficient for the shifcha charufa, which is, again, this woman who is a half a shifcha and half free, and you perform kiddushin, someone performed kiddushin on her, and then someone else has relations with her. That's the din of shifcha charufa. That's the one example in the Torah where it's not like this. But for 99% of halachos in the Torah, it's either bia kedarka or bia shalo kedarka, and it's specifically ha'ara is sufficient and not gemar bia, not the completion of the act. Fine. V'yeser pratea b'sofa seder nodia mikoman, and the rest of the details we'll discuss at the end of the parsha, when we discuss the Mishkav Zachar per se. Al pratei shar kol ha'aros b'zezus Hashem, and again for the rest of the arayos, the way that you apply the din over there. It applies in all places, in all times. Over al zev shachav es aviv, you have relations with your father, mikavan sheikh lisrosh shatara b'meizid v'yishedim v'asra niskal. Again, you insert the glands, then you have witnesses, then you receive the penalty of a skila of stoning. The shogeg mevi shnei chatos v'zman habayis, and if you do it by accident, again, you didn't realize that this was your father. You didn't know this was Usher, whatever. Again, we're talking about a Jew right now. Then you receive the penalty of, not a penalty, but you have to bring two chatos, one for Mishkav Zachar, one for your father. Echa mishum lav David, echa mishum lav de Zachar. Fine. Mitzvah kuf tzadi, mitzvah 190. Shelo legalos ervas aim. To not to have relations with one's mother. Shelo yigala haben ervas ha'im, that a son should not uncover his mother's nakedness. Shenemar imcha hi lo sigala ervasa, that she is your mother. Always when I read this pasuk, you always think this is one of the only psukim where it expresses itself in this fashion. It says, don't have relations with her, don't have relations with her. Oh no, that's not true. It says a couple times. I take that back. It says a couple times, dodaschi, your aunt as well. So when it says, imcha hi, she's your mother, she's your aunt, it's like, I feel like the Torah is saying, dude, she's your mother. You know what I mean? Right, it's sort of like saying like that. Right. She's your mother. Don't do it. What are you talking about? It's not even just a straightforward prohibition. Like, what are you thinking? The Rambam explained when he's talking about the prohibition of having relations with close relatives. That the Torah doesn't want us to engage in unlimited sex. The Torah answered us from having relations with close relatives. They're always around you. You're always hanging around your mother. You're always hanging around your sister. All people like that. So that's why God doesn't want you to be having relations all the time. So God asked these people. So you'll at least be. You'll think twice before having relations with someone who's just right there, available to you at all times. The Ramban, Mrs. Berman, the Ramban is gonna.
I think that's a good reason too, but I think there's a little more to it than
that. Right. So he quotes here in of course there's more to it. Right. It seems a little odd that this would be given the reason, but the Rambam explains more in the more in the Nevuchim that's quoted in the note here, that if the prohibition of close relatives were like the prohibition, for example, of an unmarried woman. That's, obviously there's a rectification. You could just get married. So here, you might say, well, they're around you all the time, but you're not allowed to have relations with them because you're not married to them. So just go ahead, marry your mother, marry your sister. You know, if you make it official, then you would be allowed. He said that would not be enough of a bar in place, of a gate in place, because since they're always around and you could marry them, then you'd be closer to the possibility of being nichshal in having snus and having non-marital relations with them as well, which is, again, it's a little odd that this reason is given, and the Ramban thinks so as well. The Ramban, zichrono levracha, Amar ki atam hazeh cholush meod. The Ramban says it's a very weak reason. She is chayev akosuv kareis al eilev nehi matza metzot tamid. That the Torah says that you're chayev kareis, the spiritual excision for having relations with these people just because they're around all the time, and God doesn't want you to have unlimited sex. The yater mitzad acher she saw adam echad mea nashim im yirtzo elef. What do you mean? That it's mutter to have 1,000 wives if you want. So then there'll be matzli yetzlo even more. You can have, if God really doesn't want you to go to excess in terms of relations, then why would he allow you to do that? V'amar hu zichrona livracha v'zeleshono. That the Ramban says, aval kefi asara yesh kan, ki yesh v'inyan sod misodo sayitzira dibuk banefesh. That since people, it's just not proper in terms of the interaction of the souls over here, that they don't go well together. But we call sota ibor shikvar ramaznu lo adkan. The Ramban calls this a sota ibor, which is a Kabbalistic term. In Chazal, sota ibor is referring to astronomical calculations of when the moon is going to be visible and when you need to create a leap year. Sota ibor, in other words, to make a leap year. So he said that the Ramban says it's a different type of soda, Ibor, Kabbalistic secrets, which I don't really understand. And he explains a little bit in the Shar HaGmul, which is the Ramban is writing on the Olam Haba, things like that. And he writes that rationalistic reason. That people who are born from the union of incestuous unions are often have genetic faults. Doesn't say genetic, but he says weak or have defects associated with them. So therefore, that's part of the reason that the Torah didn't allow you to do it. But I think it's
that was known in the
Well, probably that empirical studies. If they had a brother and a sister or a mother and a son that had a child, which happened, I would imagine, occasionally, weird things happen. So then they would realize that the child was not right. So vani ra'isi laramam zichrono livracha shegas devod tam acher ba'inyan, that the Rambam wrote another reason al tzad hapshat l'daiti. He thinks this is closer to the simple understanding. The Sefer Chinuch says ki amar ki tarchi katora shelo yoyis panav ha'adam lavo al ha'isha sh'orli nogbo kavod. That you're supposed to honor your mother. This is what I mentioned before in the last mitzvah. So it's totally inappropriate to do something if you have relations with her that's the opposite of honor. You're supposed to honor your wife also, of course. It's mutter to have relations with her. But anyway, it's a different type of honor that one has to show one's mother than one's wife. V'yidchok lefarish ruban al atzad hazeh. So this makes sense for the mother. So he says that the Rambam has a dochak, that he has a forced explanation that this would apply to the other arayos as well. They're supposed to show them some sort of honor, and therefore it's inappropriate to have relations with them. It doesn't show proper humility, embarrassment, that you could just be meis panim, so to speak, that you could be so brazen as to have relations with these close relatives. I'm not going to explain everything that the Rambam wrote, because if I did, I would exceed my page limit for the Sefer HaChinuch, I'm not going to do that. So again, I think most people realize that we don't really need specific reasons for these type of mitzvahs. There's some sort of internal, again, not that that's, the Torah has its reasons, and is not necessarily, it's not subject to people's gut feelings about this matter, but I think this is so universal in terms of human experience that with this idea is so terrible that it's we understand, again, whether they're Kabbalistic reasons, whether other reasons because of the Kavod. In other words, none of these, as the Sefer Chinuch writes, is Shor Shei HaMitzvah are never 100% of the whole reason for this mitzvah. They're just some type of more rationalistic understandings, but I think we understand intuitively the reason for these mitzvahs. Midine ha-mitzvah, the lofos are as follows. Mash amr zichrono livracha. The sages tell us, Isser ha-aim, hu afilu haisa anusas aviv, shrei mikol makom imahu. This does not only apply to a woman who was married to your father, even if your father raped a woman, and you are the product of that union. then you are still not allowed to have relations with your mother.
It's your mother.
Right? It's your mother. Still your mother. But if your parents are married and you have relations with your mother, then you're chayiv twice, because one time for your father's wife, one time for your mother. Because not allowed to have relations with your father's wife either. It doesn't matter whether it's your father is still married to her, or whether your father died, or they got divorced, or whatever. Any time when your father gives kiddushin, Harayat mikudeshesli, says to him and gives her object of value, wherever they get married, one is never, ever, ever, ever allowed to marry that woman, no matter what happens.
Oh, even if they're divorced or he dies?
Even if they get divorced, even if your father dies, never.
So your stepmother also applies under this, or not?
Yeah. Not this love that we're having. Okay. That's later.
Okay.
That's the next one.
Okay.
But that's also completely us. That's opposed to what's the famous example of when if somebody dies and you are allowed to marry.
Oh, yeah.
Chalitza. That if your brother, you're normally not allowed to marry your brother's wife, but if your brother dies without children, you're allowed to marry his... marry his wife. So this also of course, famously applies to the two sisters. They are not allowed to marry two sisters, but that only applies when they're both alive. If one sister dies, then you're allowed to marry the second sister.
Well, also in the old country, she dies, better the children should be raised by their parents.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's considered praiseworthy when if your wife dies, so you marry her sister because she's going to be a great mother to her
her
nieces and nephews. Right.
There was a movie a few years ago called Fill the Void, which
right.
Was, yeah.
Also, same thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. The Chayiv Ashtayim Kemosha Amarnu. But again, if your father rapes a woman, then you're allowed to marry her afterwards. Assuming you're not the product of that union. That's a different story.
I'm sure somebody's written a novel about this.
V'chein ma'ash asur ha'boseinu zechron l'vracha. Now, the Torah only mentions explicitly one's mother, but Chazal added extra prohibitions. We know that many times Chazal added extra prohibitions when it came to Arayos and didn't limit themselves to the exact types of relationships that are listed in the Torah. Eim imo. So Chazal also ossered your grandmother. Kilomar ziknaso, v'chein aim, in other words, mother's mother, v'chein aim ziknaso ad mala mala, your mother's 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 mother, will always be usher, unlimited number of generations.
This should be kind of old.
Sounds like science fiction.
Afilu elef dorim yabef shirli rosan, even if it would be possible to see 1,000 generations back, you would not be allowed to do it. If you had a time machine and you went back in time and you met your 100th generation's great-grandmother, mother's 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 mother, then you would not be allowed to marry her. So kulan asuros midivrei sovereign. Those are all derabanan. Those are all asur derabanan. Midaraisa, it's only prohibited to marry your mother. So for example, all these things are only derabanan. So if you perform kiddushin deraisa, if you perform a deraisa biblically executed marriage, then it works.
What?
And she would need a get.
What works?
If you gave kiddushin to your grandmother, then you would be considered married. You would need to have a get. You'd not be allowed to live together. Start living together.
It's like,
whereas if you get
null and void from the get-go.
No, it's only null and void. The only things that are null and void are when it's usur deraisa. It's sarkaris actually. Even a lav deraisa is the kiddushin work. It's called kiddushin tovsin. So, for example, if a kohen gives kiddushin to a grusha, divorced woman, it's usur deraisa to marry, but it's only a lav. It's only isur malkos. It's not an isur kares. So therefore, if the kohen gives a kiddushin to a grusha, so they are married and she requires a get from him if she wants to marry someone else. I mean, they have to get divorced anyway. They can't stay married, right. They have to get divorced anyway. But it would be, in other words, if they got married and then somebody else had relations with her, that would be completely ashes-ish. That would be considered complete adultery. They would be put to death. Again, also part of the derabanan, aim of is sheizignasu mitzat of, that your father's mother as well, they asered derabanan. I remember once with my father's mother. She dropped her ring or something, and I picked it up and I wanted to give it to her. So she wouldn't let me hand it to her directly because she was superstitious about that should create some. She knew this halacha that technically we could. Obviously, it's usher, but technically
the raya.
Right. Obviously, I was. However, I don't know.
It was hers already.
Was I 8 years old or something? I don't remember exactly. Obviously, I was not intending to get married. Even if I were my current age, I wasn't. And she were still alive, I wouldn't. Even if I handed her a ring, you have no intention of getting married. Don't say haraya. You have no. It's no shayfes. But it's a superstition. I'm saying that people know based on this halacha that technically, since the halacha works.
Listen, there's a. I don't think it's an apocryphal story about quite some years ago. Some two young Jewish people were kidding around. From people.
Oh, yeah.
They were kidding around.
At a camp. Some camp.
Summer camp or whatever.
Yeah,
they were like 17 or 18 or 15 or whatever they were.
Yeah.
And the guy says, Harayat, blah, 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 and gives her a ring. And then they say, oh, my God, what do we do? And I think Rav Soloveitchik finally got them out of it, but it was tricky.
No, they had to get
a
get.
No, I think Rav Moshe has a chew about it. I think they had to, he required a get. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
At least lechatchila. I don't know. But the Evid, if she got married to someone else.
Suppose the guy's been a Kohen, for God's sake.
Oh. That's a good question. That's another, right, so lechumra, we all, whenever there's any chance that people might be married.
To get involved with. So all they were doing was fooling around with words. They weren't fooling around for
the question.
And
right,
here
right.
She is. She's
well, first of all, did they have Adim? Did they have. I understand, but they. First of all, there's a.
There's no
whenever. Obviously, if there were zero Adim, then there wouldn't be any chashash whatsoever, but obviously, there was some sort of Adim there, or they wouldn't have been.
The other kids in the camp were around.
So the question is. So basically, the rule. What we try to do practically in a Bezdin is that anytime there's any chashash that two people might be married, we require a get. There was one time. I remember I was an aide on a get, and the couple were not married at all. They were living together for a while. She was in, when they were, I guess they lived in New York together, and then she moved back home to England. Mm-hmm. So the Bez, she wanted to get remarried, so the Bezdin in England said, well,
she wanted to get married.
She wanted to get married in England, so the Bezdin in London investigated her past a little bit. They found that she was living with this guy in when
a
she was living
guy
in New York.
Than the one she
she was living with a guy in New York, so they said, we'd like you to have a get. Because there's a chashash, maybe they were living together, they had intention for Ishus, that they wanted to become couples, therefore, again, if she had gotten married without a get, and she had children, we would not consider them to be mamzerim, because it's not maker hadin, we probably don't, we don't really, really think that she was married, but nevertheless, when at all possible, in a lechatchila still situation, we try to have a get, so there should be no question whatsoever.
So if it had been a kohen she wanted to marry in England,
they probably would have been matter her, yeah. They probably would have been matar. Even, I don't know, they might, it could be, that's what I'm saying, in this type of case where you have these two people in camp, it could be that since it's only a chashash, and we just want to avoid any issues of mamzeris or ishasish, the really, really big ones, we would be mekel when it came to a kohen marrying her, because we probably might pass, and that's not a real get. It depends on the exact situation of what would be going on over
here.
V'cheinim eim ziknoso ad mala mala l'olam. The same thing over here. That your father's mother's 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 mother is usher forever. V'chein usher legeder zeh shel aim, same thing. Aim avi aviv bilvad. Your father's father's mother only, and v'aim avi imo bilvad. Your mother's father's mother only, but your mother's father's mother's mother is okay. That you're allowed to marry even lechatchila. Should you want to do such a... Should you want to do such a thing? The same thing, your father's father's mother's mother... Will you be allowed to marry lechatchila?
Since we are so deeply immersed in the halakhic craft ebbing, here, is there any prohibition against necrophilia?
Woo!
I hope so.
I mean, sorry, but this is... You know,
it's Nivul Hames. Is it? It's not an Isra Arayo, so you don't get skila for doing it.
All right. You're
no, it's a good question. I'm happy if people want to know Torah. It's fine. What? No, but I don't. It's not an Isra Arayos per se. No. V'im tishal lama yispashet ha'isra ad lemala. Oh, sorry. V'yesha perishu shegam elu asuros lemala olam. There is a minority opinion that every type of grandmother is a great, 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 great grandmother is asur in as many generations as you can find. Again, the nafkamina, the practical differences between these things is very limited. Nobody wants to marry these people, but
we never know.
Fine. Now people are living longer. V'im tishal lama yispashit ha'iser ad lemala barishonos kedas harishon. So why should mother's mother be usser always, but mother's father's mother is only usser and not mother's father's mother's 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 mother? Yoser mi b'shtei elu ha'achronos, hatam l'fish ha'rishonos tikravna el iser ha'em shu ikar ha'iser. That when you're going on the maternal line, it's closer to the prohibition of having relations with one's mother, and therefore that's why Chazal ossered it forever, as opposed to the other ones, the father's father's mother, where you have a lot of fathers in the middle, and it's not as close to the prohibition of the mother. Shaharei yesh b'hen zkeino asura dahinu eim ha'eim v'eim ha'av v'al kein roi ligzor ben afilu ad lamala aval b'shtei elu achronos ein b'hem zkeino asura. There's no grandmother that's asur. V'cheven in the mother's father's, I'm sorry, the your father's father's mother, there's no grandmother that's usur in the equation. Since it's not as close to the maternal line, which is the main body of the Isser, so okay, enough with these two. It's paraphrasing a pasuk in Koheles that says the words of the mouth of the sage is grace, is nice. So it means that explanation he thinks is very good. The divrei pi chacham chen is an explanation that is a phrase that's used in rabbinic literature in general when you're trying to figure something out and you find that somebody said something that sheds light on this and is a really good explanation, so you say divrei pi chacham chen to conclude your essay that you found this, or you can say other phrases also, but this is one of the phrases that's used. Ve'elu hasha'asuros midrabban nikro shnios, that these arayos that are only prohibited midrabban are called shnios, secondary arayos. Shulchomar shen shnios losan arayos shasur Torah. They're secondary to the main arayos that are prohibited on a deraisa level. Ve'zos min arayos shen stavu alea kol b'nei ha'olam b'chlal, that the entire world was prohibited to have relations with their mother. Aval chiluk yesh bein Yisrael l'shar umos b'inyan hashnios. There's a difference between Jews and non-Jews regarding the secondary arayos. Ki Yisrael gadru geder b'inyan hashnios. It's only the Jews who have the secondary arayos. Aval shar umos ein Yisrael leim Elohim bilvad. The rest of the non-Jews are only not allowed to marry their mother. But if you want to marry, if you're not Jewish and you want to marry your grandmother, give them to hate. Enjoy. You can marry your grandmother. There's no problem whatsoever. Now there's an interesting halacha, which is we know that on the Raisa level, we have a principle called Gershon is Gayer Kekatan Shenola Dami. So let's say if you're transferring your status from non-Jew to Jew, you're converting to Judaism. So therefore, we say that once you have converted, you're like a newborn baby. The conversion renders you a newborn baby. You're not considered related to any of your previous relatives. So on a Daraisa level, a male convert is allowed to marry his mother because they are no longer considered related. When he's a non-Jew, he's related to his mother. When he converts, so he becomes a newborn baby, he severs his relationship completely halachically with his mother who's not Jewish. And let's say his mother says, oh, son, that's a wonderful idea. Let's both convert to Judaism. So the mother converts as well. Now, they're both Jewish. They're not related to each other in halacha. Therefore, they're technically on a Dorais level. They're allowed to get married. However, Chazal asked this. The sages declared this to be prohibited because they didn't want converts to say, what is this? We convert to Judaism and now we feel less holy. How could this be that we used to be holier when we were not Jewish? I wasn't allowed to marry my mother before. Now I'm allowed to marry my mother. This is ridiculous, even though technically she's not your mother, halachically, at this point. Obviously, it's good to maintain a good relationship with her, but halachically speaking, you're not related. So Chazal, they answered this completely. And I think we'll stop here for today. We'll continue next week.